Great. I just was reminded as we were singing that you may have noticed that was from the Free Church of Scotland Psalmody Committee. And the Free Church of Scotland do take singing the Psalms very seriously. For about 6 months, I lived in the very far north of Scotland and went to a Free Church of Scotland church. And one of the little quirks of the Free Church of Scotland is that they don't believe in celebrating Christmas. And I do remember very clearly the Sunday before Christmas going to church, and I don't know which psalm it was we sang, but we used the tune of While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, which seemed to me rather a pointed little... yes, anyway. We also once sang a psalm to the tune of If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands, which... Yes. I don't know, maybe that's what the tune of To the Lilies once sounded like. Anyway, we are looking at the Psalms this morning, and we're going to begin. This is what Martin Luther says about the Book of Psalms. Where does one find finer words of joy than in the Psalms of praise and thanksgiving? There you look into the hearts of all saints as fair and pleasant flowers of the heart spring up from all sorts of fair and happy thoughts towards God because of his blessings. On the other hand, where do you find deeper, more sorrowful, more pitiful words of sadness than in the Psalms of Lamentation? There again, you look into the hearts of all the saints as into death. Yes, as into hell itself, how gloomy and dark it is there, with all kinds of troubled forebodings about the wrath of God. And that they speak these words to God and with God, this, I repeat, is the best thing of all. This gives the words double earnestness and life. Hence it is that the Psalter is the book of all saints, and everyone in whatever situation he may be finds in that situation psalms and words that fit his case, that suit him as if they were put there just for his sake, so that he could not put it better himself or find or wish for anything better. I don't know, most of you, I don't know what situation you find yourselves in today as we meet together. But I know that in the Book of Psalms, there are words that will suit you as if they were put there just for your sake, so that you could not put it better yourself. I wonder how you feel about the Book of Psalms. I wonder if it is one of those books that you love and cherish. I know many people do feel that, but that is where they turn when they want to turn to God to find words to give expression to how they feel. I wonder if you find you gravitate always to the same handful of psalms. Maybe you have half a dozen or so that you love, that you always find yourself reading. I wonder if you find it, frankly, a bit baffling that apparently we needed 150 of these things, some of which seem very repetitive indeed. I wonder if it's a book that is part of your own regular, private, devotional life. Is it a book that is part and parcel of your corporate worship as a church? I do think, perhaps sometimes we think of the Psalms as a safe book in the Bible to read. There are books, aren't there, particularly in the Old Testament perhaps, that we don't really know what to do with, that seem very difficult, that seem hard to understand the kind of God that we see in them, but also hard to understand what we are supposed to do with that. But the Psalms, maybe they seem a bit easier. Maybe we understand this God a bit better. Maybe we know what we need to do with them. But I think perhaps if we have that sense of this is an easy book, perhaps sometimes we miss out on part of what the Psalms are for. Perhaps sometimes, as with the rest of the Bible, we find that there are Psalms that actually we don't really know what to do with. They don't fit into that easy pattern. The Psalms, for example, where we're calling on God to destroy our enemies, to dash the infants against the rock. Maybe that doesn't often make an appearance in our own prior lives. So I hope that what we will do this morning will help us all to end up with a better understanding of the Book of Psalms as a whole, and to have a better way of approaching those psalms to help us to pray better prayers. and especially prayers of praise and lament. I should have said, it's fine if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask as we go through, just put your hand up and I'll be happy to try and do that and hopefully still try and keep us on track. But also if you have things that you'd rather come and talk to me about over coffee or over lunch, then that's fine as well. So what are the Psalms for? Well, the first thing I think the Psalms are for is to teach us how to pray. The Psalms, if you like, are God's school of prayer. Almost all of the 150 Psalms are expressions of prayer to God. Almost all, I think. Mostly they appear to be expressions of individual prayers. I pray to God. I lift up my eyes. But some of them are very clearly corporate prayers. We meet. We pray in the assembly. And we need these prayers, first and foremost, because we need God to teach us how to pray. We need God to teach us how to pray. Because remember that although these psalms may be prayers, people speaking to God, first and foremost, they are part of the Bible. That is, they are God's word to us. And like the rest of the Bible, therefore, they are here to train and teach and rebuke and correct us. And the Psalms do a lot of teaching and training and rebuking and correcting. And one of the most important things they train us how to do is to pray. Prayer is not a natural thing. It may seem natural to you if you're someone who's been a Christian for a very long time. Perhaps particularly if you grew up as a Christian and you've always prayed. But it's not a natural thing to do. Speaking to other human beings, that's a natural thing to do. We have common ground. We have a shared experience, shared understanding, even across different cultures. But what do we have in common with God? What is man, after all, that he is mindful of us? Where were we when he created the mountains and the skies? What shared experience do we have with God? We are like the baby, gurgling in his pram, looking up at the professor of physics giving his Nobel lecture. Except the gulf is even wider, isn't it? Because even that professor was once the baby gurgling in the pram. So we need God to teach us how we can speak to him. We need him to teach us how we can speak about him, to show us the appropriate ways of addressing him, of describing him, of honouring him. We're not going to do this morning, but one day, why not read through the Psalms and just make a list of all the different ways the psalmist speaks to God, addresses God. So his in Sophia, he calls him my righteous God, my King and my God most high, O Lord my strength. How would it change your prayers if you started using those kind of ways to address God? I think it would change quite a lot. I think it would change our attitudes to prayer. We come before God, remembering that he is not only our Father, but our most high God, our rock, our stronghold, our righteous God, our King. So God teaches us how to speak to him. He also teaches us what we should be speaking to him about. I don't know what kind of things you normally pray about. My daily prayer life is often very mundane. I pray about things I am doing that day and people I know who are going through difficult times. And occasionally I'll remember to thank God for something or to praise him for something. And I'll confess my sin and ask for his mercy and forgiveness. I think if I wrote down my prayers for 150 days, they would look an awful lot more repetitive and self-absorbed than the Psalms. So what do the Psalms teach us to pray about? Well, they do teach us to pray in every circumstance, as Luther said. They teach us to pray when we're terrified, when we're mourning, when we're celebrating, when we're amazed, when we're despairing. They teach us to pray about things God has done in the past, things that we're facing in the present. They teach us to pray when we're angry with God and with the world. They teach us to pray about God's great creation and God's even greater salvation. They teach us how the very act of praying changes us. I don't know if you've noticed how many psalms begin in one frame of mind and end in a different frame of mind. Not usually that the situation has changed, but the prayer has changed as they pray. Mostly though, I think what the Psalms teach us to pray about is God. There is a lot in the Psalms about praying for our own situations and telling God our own feelings and circumstances, and it's right and proper to do that. And in our second session this morning, we'll look a bit more at that. But I think there is much more in the Psalms about simply talking to God about God. And that sounds like quite a weird thing to do, doesn't it? I mean, I have never sat down with Mark and said, right, now what we're going to do, Mark, is we're just going to talk about you for a bit. We're just going to talk about all the great things about you and all the things you've done.
Time later we could
we could debate this. I think that would be quite a weird conversation, and I think it would be quite an awkward conversation as well. But maybe you do something, maybe not quite in that sort of way, but you know, with your husband or your wife, you tell them the things you love about them. You remember together the things that you've done in the past. Maybe you share your hopes for the future. Maybe you do that with your children. You tell them what you think is great about them. You say, do you remember the time when? Do you, you know, you tell them what you hope and dream for as they grow up. It is a bit less weird having that kind of conversation with someone you know very well, isn't it? I don't think it should be weird with God, because this may be a shock to some of you, but I'm going to say it anyway. God isn't British, and he isn't middle class, and he isn't wired for maximum social awkwardness. So it's okay to tell him, actually, he's pretty good. He's pretty great, in fact. And it shouldn't be weird, because we love God. And if we love someone, we do want to tell them the things we love about them, the things we think are amazing about them. And it shouldn't be weird, because God is God. And the more we understand that, the more we recognise and reflect on who he is and how great he is, the more natural it should be to tell him so. And at length and in detail, and how each day we see something new and amazing about him. So God teaches us what to pray about. Yes, to pray about ourselves, but mostly pray about him. And thirdly, God teaches us through the Psalms how to pray. He teaches us the words to use when we can't find them. I don't know whether you've ever had this experience of wanting to pray, but just not being able to find words to what's in your heart. Sometimes that happens if we're new Christians. Maybe we're inexperienced prayers. But often I think that just happens when we're overwhelmed with emotion. We know, of course, that the Spirit takes whatever groans we have that words can't express and intercedes for us with the Father. But Psalms, and indeed all the prayers of the Bible, give us words to say when we might not be able to find them ourselves. Because in God's school of prayer, novelty is not highly valued. We don't have to reinvent any wheels. We don't have to write our own prayers. If we need words to pray when we are overcome with grief, or despairing in the darkness, or incandescent with joy, God has given us plenty of words to use. And I think we can use those words both in the form of whole psalms that we simply pray, that we repeat word for word, but also by learning to echo the Psalms in our own prayers, to absorb the way that the Psalms speak and use them in our own prayers that are specific to our own situation. The more that we pray the Psalms, the more psalm-like our own prayers will become. And I think that's true of all the prayers in the Bible. The more we pray those prayers in the Bible, the more biblical our prayers will become. And that has two positive effects. The more biblical our prayers are, the more likely they are to be answered, because we will be praying for the things that God wants. And the more likely they are to, the more biblical our prayers become, the more godly we will become in what we want. The prayer will change us as we are praying for the things that God wants. They will start to become the things that we want too. So the more we pray the Psalms, the more psalm-like our own prayers will become. Okay, I'm going to get you to do some work. If you've got a Bible, what I want you to do, just with the person sitting next to you, the Book of Psalms, I don't know if you know, this is divided into 5 books, and I've listed there on your handout what those books are. And what I want you to do is just take a couple of minutes, look at the last psalm in each of those sections, and the end of the last psalm, and see what you notice as you look at those. So the last few verses of the 5 psalms at the end of those 5 books.
Unfortunately, the rest of this session didn't get recorded after we resumed from the break for discussion, so please go straight to session 2.